Like the preacher said, I'm going to try to be brief. He said, I've been trying for 30 years. It's never worked yet, but I'll try one more time for your sake. But I'll add a little addendum to the preaching. And we'll just do filter part two. I'm telling you, that was good preaching right there. That was helpful. That was helpful. And I was sitting back there and the Holy Ghost was talking to me about my filters. Some of them weren't real clean. So I was getting them clean back there. Amen. I want you to look in 2 Samuel chapter 16. Our brother made reference to something that takes place in this passage. And I will preach to you for a moment about Shimei and David. I mentioned to you Sunday that I have been studying the life of David. Most of the messages that I've been preaching about David have to do with his relationships. And I have used a little phrase that deals with each one of these relationships to kind of hang my thoughts on. I'll give you an idea what I'm talking about. With David and Goliath, the little phrase was, there's someone in my way. Goliath was in David's way, had to be removed. And then with David and Saul, there is someone on my back. All of us have known someone who just didn't like us, and we had to learn how to deal with it. And then David down in the cave of Adullam, there's someone in my space. David went down to hide, but God would not let him stay there hidden away. And God will send you somebody when you're hiding away for you to minister to them and for them to minister to you. And there's some wonderful relationships that come out of that. And then David and Michal, there's someone in my pew judging my worship. David and I don't know, there's more of them. I can't think of them. I'm a grandpa. I told you that, didn't I? David and Jonathan, there's someone in my corner. David and Bathsheba, there's someone in my chamber who does not belong there. David and Nathan, there's someone in my face. All of us need somebody to get in our face occasion and tell us that we're wrong. And then there are others, David and Mephibosheth, there's someone on my heart. Someone I want to help. But I want to just take a moment in this little passage in 2 Samuel 16. And I'll use this title. I don't know if I'll pay a whole lot of attention to it tonight. But the title of the message is, there's someone in my valley piling on. In 2 Samuel 16, David is leaving Jerusalem. He is fleeing Jerusalem. And he's fleeing because his son Absalom has raised a rebellion against him. Absalom is on his way to kill David. And the Bible says in verse 16 of chapter 15, the Bible said, and the king went forth and all his household after him. So David and his household are fleeing Jerusalem because the battle that is about to take place, David does not want it to take place in the city. He doesn't want innocent people to be hurt, I believe is the reason. And so he's fleeing, and as he's fleeing, he goes down through a valley, and up on the ridge there is a man named Shimei. And here's what happens, 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 5. And when David came to Bethurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zariah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, My son which came forth of my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves there. Let's pray a moment. Father, we love you and we thank you for loving us, and you loved us first. And we pray you help us now, Lord, in the next few moments, to say the things that you would want us to say that would be a help to your people and would bring glory to your name. And Lord, we sure do love you. Help us to love you more. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. David is fleeing. He's in the valley. Sometime you'll find that in your crushing valley, there will be a cursing villain. There are some folks who would like to see you suffer, and they'll get a perverse enjoyment out of it. And this man Shimei is like that. Now I'm going to leave some things. I want to just get somewhere, so I'm going to hurry along, and I don't think we'll get to all of this, but I do want to get somewhere. I mentioned to you that in the beginning, I read this verse from 2 Samuel 15 about the household, David and his household. Now in this account in 2 Samuel 16, there are three households. I'm wondering which one you live in, which one I live in. There is, first of all, the household of hatred. It is Shimei's household. Shimei is a man filled with hatred. Now, I want you to notice this. I was thinking about this while the preacher was preaching. The Bible said, and when King David came to Behurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul. You know, when you begin to live a life of bitterness, you're not the only one who will suffer for it. The Bible tells us and warns us over in the book of Hebrews, looking diligently, lest any root of bitterness springing up in you and trouble you. And then it says, and thereby many be defiled. So here is a man, he is filled with hatred. He is filled with such hatred that he is carrying that sourness everywhere he goes. He is of a sour spirit. I thought about being a pap. I'm a grandpa. We're calling it papaw. I thought about this. I thought grandma and grandpa ought to be the sweetest people that a child has ever met. That's what I think. But I've met some grandmas and grandpas that are just plain sour. They ought to have been preserved, but they were pickled. And I tell you, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to end up a sour old man. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to live a bitter life. But that's what's happened to Shimei. He is a bitter man. He came carrying sourness. He came cursing steadily. Everything that came out of his mouth was bad. It was bitter. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Everything that he did. And then he came casting stones. Now, I want you to see this. And I'm hurrying and I'm moving on here a minute. I want you to see how foolish bitterness will make you act. The Bible said David is down in the valley. And the Bible said there's someone on his right hand and his left hand. You know who it was? The mighty men. You ever read about those mighty men? 2 Samuel chapter 23. You have Adino who slew 800 at one time. That's a tough man. You got Benaiah who went down in the valley, or went down in the pit and slew a lion in a time of snow. He slew two lion-like men of Moab. He slew an Egyptian, a goodly man that was over 7 foot tall. That's a tough man. You go down and you find Shammah and Eleazar and the three unnamed men that break through the host of the Philistines and got David some water and held off that entire host long enough to get water out of that well and bring it back to David to drink. There are great men in this valley with David. Men who are not afraid. Men who have overtaken and defeated great enemies. And Shimei is up on the hill casting stones down on them. Can you imagine kicking stones on Adino? who has slew 800 men. You say, Shimei, I doesn't look too smart. You're right. You see, bitterness never leaves you looking smart. It always leaves you looking foolish. I was preaching on the radio up in North Carolina and preached all week on forgiveness. Every afternoon at 2 o'clock, I preached on forgiveness. And I don't remember what day it was, but the preacher came to me and he said, Brother McBride, there was a lady listening to the preacher and she called me today to get right with me. I said, well, that's good. He said, no, let me tell you the rest of the story. Said this woman called. She said, I've been listening to messages on forgiveness. And she said, Pastor, I want to get right with you. I've had a grudge against you for the past 20 years. I want to get it right. I want to forgive you. I'm calling to forgive you. And I want you to forgive me for the grudge that I've had. I've talked bad about you. For 20 years I've been mad at you. He said, well, dear lady, I forgive you. She said, but please tell me, what did I do? She said, you came and mowed my lawn and stole my lawnmower. He said, ma'am, I don't even know you. I've never been to your house. I've never mowed your lawn. I don't know anything about your lawnmower. And she said, you mean that wasn't you? And for 20 years, she'd been bitter at a man who'd never wronged her. You see, bitterness is always foolish. That's why the Bible said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So you have a household filled with hatred. It's what his life revolves around. And it is a supposed offense. We know, and we just heard, that David never tried to steal the kingdom, but that's what Shimei has in his mind. And so it has caused him to become a bitter man. You have the household of hatred. You've been living there. You're mad at somebody. You get upset when their name is spoken. Your stomach gets in knots. You can't stand to hear anything about them, good or bad. You've been living in that household. I know a lot of people living there. I had a fellow one time. I was pastoring him, and he was in our church, and he was bitter. So we had a missionary come from Mexico, and he came, and he's in the church service. And then after the service, I invited the missionary to our house, and I invited, I think, two or three couples from the church. And one of the couples I invited was a couple with that man. And they came, and we sat down. We'd been there just a few moments, not very long, maybe 15 minutes at the most. We'd been sitting in the living room talking. I had to get up and go into the kitchen for something. So I went out in the kitchen, and the missionary got up, followed me out into the kitchen. I got in the kitchen, turned around. There was the missionary, and he looked at me, and here were the words out of his mouth. After sitting in that living room for no more than 15 minutes with those couples, he looked at me and he said, what is that man so bitter about? 15 minutes. But see, it showed up all over him. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Just put it away. Put away from you all that. So here's a man. He lives in the household of hatred. I want you to see a second household here. It's the household of hardness. I'll mention it just quickly. It is the house of Zariah. Now notice the Bible said there's a man named Abishai. Our preacher has mentioned him in the sermon. Verse number 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zariah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. I know what to do here. Let's put a stop to this man. You know, this man Abishai is David's nephew. He is the son of Zariah. Zariah is David's sister. In another place in the, by the way, you'll remember him. He had two brothers. Their names were Joab. There were Joab, Abishai, and Azahel. Azahel is dead. He died in a battle. But you're familiar with Joab, and you're familiar with this man, Abishai. By the way, it's an interesting thing for me to remember and for us to notice that though Joab was a great soldier, he never made it into 2 Samuel 23. The list of David's mighty men. You want to know why? Because Joab was carnal. He did everything he did for his own benefit. If it was not for his own benefit, he wasn't interested in it. And so you have these three boys, they are the sons of Zariah, and David will say about them, what have I to do with you? He'll say that part here. But in another place he'll say, ye sons of Zariah, be too hard for me. Here is the household of hardness. You know what carnality will do? When you're carnal and self-centered, it'll make you hard when you're supposed to be soft. And it'll make you soft when you're supposed to be hard. It'll get you in a place where you don't know what ought to be done, when it ought to be done. You see, Abishai has to be constantly restrained. Just like my old flesh and your old flesh. Constantly restrained. So you have the household of hatred and the household of hardness. But here's what I want you to see. I want you to see in this passage the household of humility. And it is David's household. And I want you to remember this verse from the book of Proverbs. Only by pride cometh contention. Only, not sometimes, not occasionally, not once in a while, but only by pride cometh contention. Now here is David. David is in the household of humility. I'll show you how humble David is. Back in verse chapter 15 and verse 24, look what the Bible said. The Bible said, and lo, Zadok also, and all the Levites are with him. This is David fleeing from Jerusalem, and he meets Zadok and the Levites, bearing the ark of the covenant of God, and they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had done passing out of the city. And the king said unto Zadok, carry back the ark of God into the city. If I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me again and show me both it and his habitation. But if he thus say, I have no delight in thee, behold, here am I. Let him do to me as seemeth good unto him. As David is fleeing Jerusalem, Zadok just naturally thinks, well, let's take the ark. Let's take it with the king. But when David sees it, David says to Zadok, no, that ark belongs in Jerusalem. The presence of God must remain with the people. And then he said this. He said, if God delights in me, if I find favor, if it's of God, he'll bring me back. And that'll be good. But he said, if he doesn't, whatever God does will be all right with me. That is a humble heart. That is a heart submitted to the will of God. And that is the kind of heart that will keep you from getting filled with bitterness. Now, David, his humility is seen here in his response when Abishai said, let me kill this man. Listen to what David says. Verse number 10, 2 Samuel 16. And the king said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zariah? So let him curse, because the Lord. Now, this is what David said. The Bible does not say the Lord told him to curse, but this is what David said. Whether the Lord told him to curse at David or not, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say he did, but David thinks that he did. So listen to what he said. And David said, the Lord, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to all his servants, behold, my son which came forth from my bowels seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. Now I want you to see three things very quickly. You say, preacher, how do I know if I'm living in the household of hatred or the household of hardness or the household of humility? How do I know? How can I decide? Figure out where it is I'm living. If I have the right spirit I'm supposed to have. Watch these three things. Number one, can you see heaven from where you are? Can you see heaven from where you are? David said, let him alone. Let him curse, for God, the Lord, hath bidden him. Now here's what's happening. They're down in the valley, and Abishai is looking up, but his vision only reaches to the top of the hill. All he can see is Shimei. David is also looking up, but his vision is reaching beyond the top of the hill. His vision is all the way up into the throne room of heaven, and David is saying, I see something you can't see, Abishai. All you can see, you're looking up there, and all you can see is the man, Shimei, and all you can hear is his cursing, and all you can see are the rocks that he's kicking down on us. But Shimei, Abishai, I'm looking beyond that. I'm looking up into the throne room of heaven, and I'm seeing the God of Israel seated upon the throne, still in control. And so here is my conclusion, Abishai. My conclusion is, I'm going to let God be God, and I'm going to be David, and I'm going to keep my eyes on heaven, and I'm going to see that God may be the problem is we can't see past the offender. We're like Jacob. When those boys came home from Egypt, when they came home and they said, the Lord of that country spake roughly unto us and he took us for spies. You remember? And he said not to return. He said to us not to return unless we bring Benjamin. And Jacob said, why dealt ye with me so evilly as to tell the man you had a brother? And then he said this. He looked at those boys. I think it's Genesis 41. He said, it may be 42, but I think it's 41. He said, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and ye will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Not one of those things was against him. All those things were for him. But he couldn't see past those boys. He said, me have ye bereaved. Now he learned better. You know how I know he learned better? Because when he's on his deathbed and he's lying there on his deathbed and he calls his boys in. Jacob's an unusual man. He had three deathbed scenes. Most people only get one. But he had three. And in one of those deathbed scenes, he calls his boys in and he gathers them around the bed and he starts telling them what they have done and what's going to happen. And when he gets Joseph in, he tells them about him being a fruitful bow and a vine going over a wall and the archers have sorely shot against him. But then he said this. He said, in the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Now that's an interesting statement. You know why? Because all through Joseph's life, it looked like somebody had their hands on him, trying to hurt him. His brothers put their hands on him, were going to throw him in the pit. They wanted to throw him in the pit and wanted to kill him. And Reuben, the Bible said, wanted to deliver them out of their hands. And then the Bible said, while he's in the pit, Judah looked up and saw a caravan coming and said, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come now, let us sell him. And so they sold him. And the Bible said this, Potiphar bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. And then when he's in Potiphar's house, he had to flee and he left his garment, his coat in her hand. She had her hands on him. So it looks like all through Joseph's life, somebody's got their hands on him trying to ruin him. But Jacob has learned now to look beyond the obvious. And so he looks up at Joseph and it's as though he said, now, Joseph, it looked like he's in your brother's hands. And it looked like he's in the hands of the Ishmaelites. And it looked like he's in the hands of Potiphar's wife. But the truth of the matter is, from start to finish, you were in the hand of the mighty God of Jacob. When he said the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, it's a picture of a father with a boy teaching him how to use a bow. He's got his hand on the boy's hand here, his hand on the boy's hand here. And Jacob's saying, I learned one thing, Joseph. I learned that God's always got his arms around us, always got his hands on us. We think we're in somebody else's hands. What happened? He learned to look beyond the immediate and see heaven behind what was happening in his life. So I want to ask you tonight, can you see heaven from where you are? Can you see God working? Can you look past the trouble and the difficulty and the sorrow and the pain and say, God is at work? Can you see heaven? If you are, it's a good indication you're living in the household of humility. Then, not only can you see heaven from where you are, but can you separate your hurts? Here's what David says. David said, mine own son, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? He said, my own son wants me dead. You think I'm worried about this? You think this is a problem? My own son wants to kill me. That's why I'm fleeing. And you think I'm going to waste time worrying about some guy running across the top of the hill, kicking stones? You know, there's some things maybe worth getting stirred up about, and there's some things y'all just turn your head and go on. Can you separate your hurts? What happens is you zero in on something, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And bigger, amen. You can, if you have a hurt, you can rehearse it. You can nurse it, or you can reverse it. You can overcome evil with good. Can you separate your hurts? Can you see heaven? Can you separate your hurts? Can you stay your hand? David said, let him alone. Abishai, I'm wondering about something. I'm just wondering about something. I'm wondering if David remembers when Nathan said to him that he'd taken Bathsheba and that he'd slain Uriah with the sword of the Amorites. And now he's down here in this valley. And he can slay Shimei with the sword of Abishai. But David's been there. And he don't want to go back there. He's seen what that costs. Getting even. No matter how you reconcile it or rationalize it, he's seen what it cost. And so David said, you let him alone. You let him alone. Oh, render unto no man evil for evil. If this young man does evil to me, render unto no man evil for evil. So if he does evil to me, I get him back. God didn't say his was evil and mine was getting even. He said his was evil and mine was evil. I'm on the same level. I don't want to go there. I want to learn to stay my hand. Now let me say this and I'll be done. I want you to notice something else David says in this passage. Look in verse 12. I like this verse right here. David says, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. David said, now I could get even. I might feel better for a while. But he said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave it in the hands of God. And it may, let me ask you a question. If you knew somebody was being hurt and having a hard time and you saw them walking along, would you slip up beside them and say, you know, I'm praying for you. I love you. It's going to be okay. You know what that is? That's compassion. Do you think you're more compassionate than God is? I don't think so. I don't think we're more compassionate than he is. And David believed. David made the statement. He said, it may be. God will see how I've been hurt. God will see how I've been attacked. And God will say, you know, I think I'll bless David just a little extra. I think I'll just go a little bit beyond. I think I'll just bless him because he went through this and he trusted me and he kept his eyes on me. I think I'll just bless him. And I notice at the end of this passage, verse 14 said this, and the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed themselves. There. Look like at the end of this, David found a place of refreshment. But I guarantee you one thing, Shimei never found a place of refreshment. He went home just as mad as he was when he left. There is no refreshment in bitterness. But David learned to look at God and keep his eyes on God. And God refreshed him before it was all over. What house are you living in? The household of hatred? You're mad, you got a grudge, you got bitterness. The household of hardness, I'll make them pay. Or the household of humility, I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to look at God. I'm going to just say, the Lord's hand is in this. And he's going to take care of me. And it may be that he'll requite me good for their cursing. This day, I want you to bow your head.